Morning. It's a day of celebration today. It's a day where joy is being experienced in this assembly, but not in this assembly only, but joy is being experienced right now in the presence of God. In the presence of God, the angels are looking down, all of heaven is looking down, because 11 people here in this assembly have chosen to identify themselves with Christ and say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. He died for my sins and paid the price that I deserve. Luke 15 says, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's joy in the presence of God over one sinner who repents. And each person here who has asked to be baptized has also professed that they have repented and believed the gospel. You know, that saying, and this is very serious, in the presence of the angels of God, it's repeated again in the New Testament, but very, very solemnly. And we need to get this when we're talking about being baptized and we're talking about what it means to be saved. It says in Revelations 14, verse 10, it says, speaking of someone who has refused to trust Christ as their Savior, it says, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lord, of the Lamb. Very juxtaposition on these two verses, aren't there? Why would the angels of God be rejoicing that one sinner has repented? Because they rejoice that they will not have to look down upon them and see them endure God's judgment against sin in their own selves. Solemn stuff. The answer to that dilemma was John 5, where Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That a person who has put their faith and trust in the words of God about his Son, God said, here's the testimony of God. God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. But he that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. It's never separated from that terrible reality of a judgment, because it's that terrible reality of a judgment that Jesus himself bore on the cross. When he hung there in agony and the sky went black over his head and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Never had a righteous man ever been forsaken of God. Yet it tells us in Isaiah 53 that it pleased God, it pleased the Lord to crush him in the judgment, so that he would be free to offer to you and me the gift of eternal life. Joy. If our joy is not founded on that reality, then it's not a joy that's biblical. We might be happy about other things about God, but the most important thing to be happy about is that our sins are forgiven. I remember some very young people coming up here to be baptized today. I remember when my little girl Emma was only about 8 or 9, and she was sitting on the couch in the living room, and she just suddenly teared up. She welled up in tears, and she said, "Dad, I'm afraid to die, and I'm afraid that I might go to hell." And I sat down with her on that couch, and we talked, and then we prayed together. And from that moment on, she felt that before God, she had transacted and that her sins were gone, that she was now safe, safe from eternal judgment. She was later baptized as a child. I was baptized once when I was a kid, a baby. I don't think it did anything. But when I was 25 and I personally came to understand and trust the word of God for my own soul, and I invited Jesus into my life to be my Savior. Well, that summer, a few months later, I was saved in January, so we didn't have one of these. We waited till the river was no longer frozen, and we had a public baptism down on the beach of Merrickville. And we each of us went into the water declaring that Jesus was our Lord and that Jesus had saved us from our sins and that we put our trust in nothing but Him. So baptism is firstly and mostly about Jesus. It's about what He did. Nothing we do ever saves us except one thing: to look with the eye of faith at Jesus. I'm just going to step back for a second and just give you the story that Jesus gave a religious man in Israel when he said, "How can a man be born again? How can a man come to this place of rebirth so that he gets this new life?" And Jesus said, "Well, it's just as," now that's important. When Jesus says something is just as, then it's probably the most important thing you could probably read about salvation. He said, "Just as Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And so He said, I want you to look at Moses, and I want you to look at this portion in the Old Testament where the people of God were wandering in the desert and they were sinning against God. Sinning and sinning and mumbling and grumbling about everything. And God sent a judgment in amongst these people. And that judgment were serpents. And those serpents came in amongst the people and bit them. And whoever was bitten died. And as this happened amongst the people of Israel, they finally came to Moses and they said, "We've sinned against God. We've sinned against God. Save us, save us. Take these snakes away." But God told Moses to do this. He said, "I want you to take a snake out of bronze, and I want you to put it on a pole, and I want you to lift it up as you walk through the desert with the people of Israel. And if anyone is bitten by the snake, tell him to look at the serpent." And it says, as many as were bitten and looked at the serpent, they were healed. That's faith. Faith is believing what God has said is the answer and then trusting it. There was no action. There was no great ceremony. There was nothing other than simply lifting their eyes and looking at a serpent made of bronze held above them. They were looking at the very judgment that they were under. They were looking at the judgment that God had sent against their sin. And now He says, "Look at that judgment. Just look." And that's what the gospel is. God has sent His Son to this earth to die on a cross, to be lifted up, just as that serpent was. And lifted on that cross, He was made to be sin for you and me. He took upon Himself all of the judgment that all of our sins deserve, and not yours and mine only and those who believe, but enough so that anyone in this world could come and trust Christ as their Savior. And so he said, just as Moses lifted that serpent up, so have I been lifted up, so will I, that whoever believes on me will not perish. It's by faith that we are saved. It's by simply trusting and believing the word of God, as we read earlier, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Jesus on the cross bore our judgment, so we put our faith and trust in him. We consider it our own. If I were to take this piece of paper and put it in this Bible, and I took this Bible and I threw it in the water, or I threw it in the fire, what would happen to this page? It would burn up with the book. And so the Bible refers to a Christian as someone who has been included, who has been placed into Christ by faith. And as a result, the experience that Christ experienced has become our experience by faith. Jesus died on the cross. He says, Fred, you were in me when I died on that cross. And so, Fred, you're dead. Fred, you have no longer exist because you died with me. But then Jesus rose from the dead. Fred, you've been risen from the dead with me by faith. By faith in your identification with me, you are now risen from the dead. And that's what's being expressed here today in baptism. Baptism's not joining a church. It's not a ritual by which we attain salvation. It's not something to soothe the heart of some mother or father here about their children. That's not what it's about. But it's about identification with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Here's a statement of faith by a church similar to our own. We believe that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord by which those who have repented and come to faith express their union with Christ in his death and resurrection by being immersed in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is a sign of belonging to the new people of God. When a person is baptized, it's sort of like a formal announcement that I no longer am myself. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a member of the universal church of God, not just this local expression of the church, because it isn't membership to a local expression. But it is a sign of the fact that we have joined the body of Christ by faith. We have new life in us because of Jesus. Jesus' last words in Matthew 28 to his disciples up on the mountain before he rose into the air, he said, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Some of Jesus' last words were to his disciples, go and make disciples. And that's what we do when we tell people about how Jesus died on the cross for their sins and for our sins. That in the proclamation of the gospel, people can put their faith in Christ as their Savior. But somehow in that message, we also tell them that you need to be baptized. In that message, as we teach what Jesus has commanded, we teach, believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. And as if you read through the scriptures, you see them pretty closely linked. There aren't very long distances between believe and be baptized. Being baptized is really the very first thing that a person is asked to do after they have come to faith in Christ. It's really the first commandment of Jesus to the new creature in me. It says, be baptized. You have faith in me? demonstrated by going into the waters of baptism. We had a sermon last week about the eunuch and Philip preaching the gospel to the eunuch through Isaiah 53. He preached Jesus in the word of God, and then when they came to water, the eunuch said, well, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? So obviously, in the message that Philip was speaking to him, he mentioned baptism. He mentioned the need to be baptized and to declare your faith. And so they went down into the water. Another indication that there was a lot of water, therefore a lot of indication that it was an immersion baptism. We're not here to discuss immersion as opposed to pouring water over somebody's head. We believe the scripture says immersion is the best picture of what Jesus did on the cross. And it says in Romans, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, and we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism there is demonstrating to us that when Jesus died, we died. And so we go into the waters of baptism and we allow somebody to put our head under the water. And of course, if they left us there, we would die. It's a symbol, a picture of death. But as they raise us up out of that water, it is also a picture of the fact that we, in our union and in our new life in Christ, we are raised to a different world. We are new creatures in Christ. And it signifies that. That's what it should signify. Maybe for some of the young folks getting baptized today, this might be a little too theological. I'd just like to say in Galatians, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, it's by faith that we become children of God in Christ Jesus. It's by trusting the words of God and the promise of salvation through his death on the cross. I believe Jesus took all my sins on that cross and was punished for them. And therefore, because he was punished for them, I will not be punished for my sins. Do you have that hope in your heart here today? Is that something you believe? Just one last thing to say. Baptism doesn't save, but it symbolizes something. In the same way, I don't have my wedding ring on. My wife will tell you why. But most of us who are married have a wedding ring on, and that wedding ring didn't make us married, did it? That wedding ring was a symbol of the covenant we had made with our spouse before God, that we would love and honor and cherish till death do us part. And that ring symbolizes our union together. And in a certain sense, that's what baptism is. It's like your wedding ring. It's that you have put your faith in Christ and you've received him. And now, before the world, you are declaring it. When someone sees a ring on someone's finger, they know that person is married. That person is in a covenant relationship with someone else. People don't see our baptism except in the moment that we do it. But in the presence of God, our baptism is like that ring going on our finger, that we now belong to him. And we are the willing declarants of that. So I don't want to say any more because I was told it started with five people being baptized. Fred, would you speak? Five people are being baptized. So, you know, take 20 minutes. Get another call. Fred, eight people are being baptized. Can you contain yourself? And here I am, probably going over time again. But 11 people, to the glory of God, are going to take that step before us all and tell us that they love Jesus because he died for them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we praise you this morning. And Lord, we just pray that everyone in this room might be able to say with all their heart that they have found a Savior. That they might be able to say with all their heart that Jesus died for my sins and I trust him to save me. Lord, there may be some here who are just spectators, but oh Lord, make the solemn reality of what's taking place here today enter their heart by your Spirit, and let every person in this room truly be saved, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.